Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us for the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got a great show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the folks that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, I want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Also, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on our Facebook page, or you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Of course, you can always check out ScuttlebuttNetwork.com for more information. If you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on the awesome FM Talk 106.5 app. Of course, you can always stream us live on the app as well. And Tom's Tirade is up for podcast at castbox.fm. And we've got a power hour coming up for you today on SBN. We're going to be joined by Mr. Donald Ciutat and Ms. Lisa Owen with the Alabama Career Center. They are going to get us up to speed on what the employment picture looks like for veterans and militaries and their military and their families here in South Alabama and Alabama in general. And, of course, also look ahead to see what challenges and opportunities lie ahead for employees in Alabama in the new year. And Tom's tirade on burning down the house. You don't want to miss it. It might just cause an insurrection or an erection if you're a
Chukchi. Come on. Yeah.
He said
one
it,
of
I
the
didn't.
Above. One of the above.
Got to watch your words there.
I know it. You know how it goes. At least you said it. I didn't. You're giving me a break.
You're rubbing off on me.
Yeah, you're giving me a break.
On me after 11. You're after 11 years.
I thought it was 14. You know how time flies.
It just feels like it. Oh, okay. I was in dog years.
Well, 40 years on the car shows this year. So what the heck.
And you don't look a day under 39.
I know it, man. I don't see how in the hell I did that when I was 6 months old.
Well, you know, you're kind of like those cars. They roll out a new model every year.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've got these great people that work over me and take care of me. You know how that goes.
Well, I think it was Donald that said you were good breeding stock. So.
Oh, Lord.
I have been accused of that, too.
I don't know about all that.
I have been accused of that. Jerry Carl gave me that, you know, with that tag.
Oh, well, hey, you know, when you get it from the Honorable Jerry Carl, then you got to roll with that one. Oh. I have business cards made with that.
Oh, yes. Oh,
hey, anyway, hey, do we have our first guest?
We have our first guest, Brother Pete.
Man, you guys talking about the power hour. We're fixing to have the Mighty Minute right now.
Uh-oh. Well, all right. We're going in. It's your minute. Let it roll.
The Mighty Minute, baby. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, you're not on a damn podcast now. You're actually on radio.
Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year.
Every New Year.
Happy New Year to you, buddy. Give us a little upstart here on what the heck's going on with the Panini Foundation.
I'll tell you what. Man, right now we're just, you know, we're busy getting things going on the causeway and drawings and plans and permits and electric and plumbing. It's just, God, it's such a, you know, it seems like only yesterday, but it seems like forever. So we're just still drudging forward, but things are moving forward. They are progressing, and that's what's good. And it seems like the insurance companies are, you know, the holidays are over. They're getting back to work, so that's good.
That's neat, man.
We got some fun stuff coming up, man, at Sunset Point. Did Nick tell you about what we're doing over there?
Hey, give me a little insight on it. Bring us up to date.
I'm going to get you up to date, my man. Are you ready? You sitting down?
Rock on, baby. Rock on. I'm laid back against the wall. Propped up.
Did he fall down, Hal? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So on the 31st, the end of this month, Monday night, we're doing a really cool event over at Sunset Point with Chef Kelsey Bernard Clark out of Dothan, Alabama. She's got an awesome place up there called Eat KBC, and she was a lot of people watch this show, Top Chef. Real, real popular show, some amazing chefs, and she won season 16 of Top Chef, so she's a bona fide badass.
Yeah, there you go.
And a CIA grad, and she just come out with a new cookbook, so we're having an eat and greet. You can call up Sunset Point and get your tickets for the eat and greet. Come on down. We're going to have samples of some of her dishes from the cookbook and some cocktails and some of your Sunset Point favorites, and you're going to get an autographed cookbook, and we're doing it to benefit the PR Foundation.
Great.
So,
right.
You know, that's my foundation, so it's going to be a great charity event. We're looking forward to seeing you down there. Tickets went on sale today, and we've already sold about 25 tickets, and we're only selling 80. So you better get after it, folks.
Yes, yes. Hey, that's going to be an awesome event. You know, Sunset Point is an unbelievable restaurant anyway. And seeing the sunset at Sunset Point is just unbelievable. And hear that old big bell ring when that sun goes down? Ooh, that's awesome.
You know, it's all about food and friends and, you know, good hospitality. And, you know, we try to spread it around as thick as we can, my man. You know that, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's there. And you've got an awesome group of some great people working over there. And in all of your restaurants, I can't hardly stay out of the Squid Ink, man. I tell you, that's a fine place, too.
Well, Tom, you're a celebrity everywhere you go. You get royal treatment everywhere, but you make it easy for us. They're all on their toes over there.
Hey, I noticed. Everybody gets royal treatment because it looks like everybody would get the same kind of good food I was getting.
Yeah, you know it. Hey, speaking of, you know, military, I just saw something came across my email about a Navy week. Do you know anything about that coming up?
What's the Navy?
Huh?
What's the Navy? Oh, that's right. Like that's that Uber outfit that hauls us around. Yeah,
hauls the equipment.
Yeah, they just haul equipment around in Marines.
Yeah, you know your cruise ship captains, your crew that go around the Marines.
I had to remember that.
Yeah, that's just cruise ship captains.
Me.
That's all. You know, they got a. I better be careful here, but they do have a lady. Now that's the captain aboard one of our big old ships out there, you know, it's got them little planes on it and all that. It looks like a rolling airport.
Absolutely.
I'm going like,
who's
the captain?
I heard something about Mobile's going to have a Navy week, so I'm going to get to the details and we can see what we can do.
Let's do it.
You know, I don't know if I told you that story, but when I flew out to the USS Bataan with the Mess Lords, we landed on that. We took an Osprey from Sigonella out to the Bataan in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and there were 800 Marines on board on top of the 2,500 sailors. So they were cruising around kind of on standby, potentially going to evacuate the Syrian embassy. And we were went out there to bring them some love. And that Naval Food Service officer confirmed what you just said. I said, what's it like with all these Marines on board? He goes, man, they think we're just a cruise ship. All they do is work out, eat, and break stuff, but he didn't say stuff. They want to be chasing bad guys.
He misspelled his pronunciation.
Didn't
all right, big guy. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on board. Look, looking forward to seeing you over there on the 31st, but let's get together and get those new commercials cut.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
All right, brother. Take care.
Appreciate all the veterans, man.
All right.
Thank you all for your service. Ciao.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Tell you what, that's Potato Pete and all his fine restaurants and all here in the Mobile area. We appreciate him working with us on the show. We'll be right back.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And it is an honor to be joined on SBN by veteran patriots from the Alabama Career Center, Mr. Donald Ciotat and Ms. Lisa Owen. Donald, Lisa, welcome back to SBN. Thank you for your service and your service to our veterans.
Thank you for having us, Cal.
Donald, it's a pleasure to have you on board here with us. We were just talking about it. I feel like I'm surrounded by senior NCOs here with both you and Lisa. But, just one old Marine, hell, I'm okay.
Well, I feel we're evened out this time. I got an Army person here, and I'm not outnumbered by you and Cal this time.
Oh, really?
So yeah. I got some backup.
Well, he's only on the air. He's not physically in the house.
So that don't count.
But that's okay.
I hear you.
Top Cat will handle it.
Okay? I hear you.
But anyway, let's hear how well you guys are handling the veterans things that you are in charge of and are making happen on the Gulf Coast area. With the career centers here now, don't you have our offices in most all of our counties now?
Yeah, all the major metropolitan offices and then all the major counties in the state. The metropolitan office kind of, they're the mothership kind of, best way to describe it, to the satellite offices.
Right.
So you can pretty much get to a career center within probably half hour longest drive.
Right. Okay.
So, and that's where abundance of employment information and abundance of job referrals and job opportunities.
So that being said, then for our veterans that are looking for some work or looking for a new job or training, then that's where they need to start?
Absolutely. And we have in the major metropolitan offices, as you and I've discussed before, is we have vet reps. And we have two different types of vet reps. And one of the vet reps can see any veteran that comes in. And then one of them's a specialist to work with veterans that have barriers to employment to resolve those barriers as they're trying to find them a job.
All right. And let's define barriers.
Well, there's a list of them that Department of Labor has given us.
Oh, they defined it.
They defined it,
okay.
Yeah. It's not generic. They define what it is. And basically, it's low income, it's homeless veterans, veterans that are having problems with, you know, a lot of the transitioning service, not, I wouldn't say a lot, but some of the transitioning service members, you know, this is their first job. The military was their first job.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now they're out and they really don't know how to, you know, navigate that job world.
Well, they never had to.
And
they've been told everything to do and what time to get up and what time to go to bed and what to do when they got up and how to complete that job. And now they're out and they haven't had that work ethic exposure that, that we all came up with after we got out of service.
Absolutely.
And we had to learn it the hard way, you know.
Absolutely. And they're a group that we focus on, too, you know, because especially during the peak of the deployments when they were coming back. You know, they came back and they had the deployment issues to deal with, and then they're trying to get a job the first time in the employment world, trying to navigate that. So they made them one of the barriers. But basically, the barriers are like homelessness, and there's a list on the DOL, USDOL website. You can find it. You can Google it. U.S. Department of Labor. It's actually U.S. Department of Labor Vets.
Department of Labor, DOLV?
DOLVETS.
DOLVETS, and
And that gives the specifics. But the specialists in the career centers know what they are. And when you come into a career center, they do an assessment to see who to send you to. So the people at the career center know what the barriers are. They've been trained on it. And so they know which way to guide you. So all you really need to do is just show up to the career center, and you'll get the help you need. And right now, there's so many jobs out there. As a matter of fact, I've lost some of the staff in the career centers because of the job opportunities, you know, they're grabbing everything that's open.
Right.
Yep. And there's some really good job opportunities out there right now if you want to move up.
Well, are there any plans for, you know, like in-person job fairs in this coming year?
Yeah, there's not any plans for any big ones. They're keeping them small, one or two employers, and most of those are being done at the career center. It's just easier for smaller groups to manage the COVID protocols that are in place. So they're doing it smaller, and it seems to be working. I've been to a couple of them throughout the state because I have to watch the whole state with the vet program, and I've been to a couple of them. That seems to be the best way to handle it at this point in time. But there's so many ways you can go online to Alabama Works, you know, and self-register and just work with that program. And you can do your own job referrals. And the vet reps are always there to help you if you need help over and above what you're doing online. And then, you know, my staff, I've been training them a lot on LinkedIn lately. We connected with this retired E9 that's a LinkedIn guru, and he started showing me things you can use LinkedIn for with employment that I never knew was there.
Right.
I mean, this is advanced level stuff. And he's training my staff, and eventually what I want to do is to be able to open those LinkedIn trainings, be given by the vet staff to veterans to come in and just learn it.
Right, that's awesome. You know, but that for the fact that it's actually out there for the vets that are computer literate that can get in there and work with that.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. What alternatives do veterans have, you know, on these job search opportunities?
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Especially when most of these in-person activities are canceled.
Well, that's why I'm saying the Alabama Works is pretty self-explanatory. But, I mean, like, if you can go in there and self-register and use it on your own. But if you run into a problem, you can connect with the Career Center, and there's somebody there that can answer your question. The other thing, and I keep going back to LinkedIn, and I have no stock in LinkedIn, but it's just this E9 that we've been working with. His story is he retired, and he had a pretty decent sized network in LinkedIn, and he said on paper, nobody would probably look at him. But he had connected in the LinkedIn network with this guy that worked for one of the top consulting firms in New York and got him a sit down with the executives, and they saw what he could do with LinkedIn and saw what he could do with some other things that he's working on. And hired him on the spot. But he said, if you just use the paper, I didn't look that enticing. When they were able to sit down and talk to me, they saw it was a lot more to me. So that's kind of why we're kind of going in that direction a little bit. But, I mean, we use Alabama Works as our bread and butter.
Right. Well, now, in these career centers that you have and locations on them, do y'all have any particular requirements for the COVID? Mask and all that. What are y'all doing with that?
Yeah, it's like everywhere else. It's been back and forth. Right now, we have been told to go back to mask.
Okay.
And they check your temperature at the front desk.
Okay.
But Yeah, it's been back and forth like everything else. We've had mask off, mask on, mask off, mask right, on. Right. And right now we have mask on to come in the career center.
Well, y'all have to get up to date like the VA centers is now. You know, they've got the electronic deals where nobody don't stand out there and touch your forehead with the little temperature gauge. You walk up in front of it, look into this camera, and it goes, ding, 98.6.
That's whatever, right. You know? Yeah, we need those.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice for sure. That would definitely be nice.
Well, that being said, you know, when we were coming out of service, we didn't have the backgrounds on the resumes, what we need, to, how we need to present ourselves to the public or a business. Do y'all work with our vets and help them walk through this and train themselves on how to handle this?
Absolutely. And when you sit down with one of the vet reps that works with veterans with barriers, what they do is they sit down and they sit with you and make a plan. How are we going to get to the end zone, right?
Right.
So you have a step-by-step plan about what y'all are working with, and they've been trained to just that plan as you go along if need be. But they also help you with their resume and most of them are pretty up to date on federal resumes because that's a whole nother monster.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But right now you need to know it because there are jobs, federal contracting jobs. I get emails all day about people needing employees so they don't lose their federal contracts.
See, if somebody wants a job out there now, they could get
one. They could get one.
Yeah. And then and one of the other questions I have for you, but I'll ask Lisa about it, is, you know, how can a veteran get traded for, like CDL traded? And how does that work through the Career Center? But I know that she's been on with us over like a month or so ago with our CDL instructors down at Bishop State. So we'll in the next segment, we're going to cover that with her and let her give us a little insight on how all that works. So it's been a pleasure having you on board, brother.
Thank you.
Hey,
appreciate being here.
Go ahead, Cal.
I had a question. Donald mentioned that they were trained with getting you into the end zone. Did Georgia train him or did Alabama train him?
Oh, my Lord. War Eagle.
He said
that's all I got
War
to
Eagle.
Say is War Eagle.
Anyway, hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to have more with Donald and Lisa from the Alabama Career Center when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Welcome back and thank you for joining us today on this Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Trying to get Cal back on the air, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we also want to take this time to thank our fine sponsors that continue to work with us, and without them we wouldn't be able to be here. And those folks are Battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Are you on board, Brother Cal?
And, yeah, I am. Again, we're speaking with Donald C. Attack and Lisa Owens from the Alabama Career Center. And I know, Tom, you had thrown out a question for Lisa prior to the break, so we can jump right back into that topic with her.
Yes, we are. We've had the occasion to have this little lady on board with us here. And also, she's a retired, what did you say, Master Sergeant? I don't know. I don't know anything about the Army rank. What'd you say?
Retired Sergeant First Class.
Sergeant First Class. That's pretty well up to rank. Is that an 8?
7.
7. Oh, well, that's still higher than a damn 3 that I was. Okay. But all of that being said, it's a pleasure to know that we have someone like Donald and Lisa working with our vets in the Career Center and helping to get these people located and get them a job and let them work through whatever scenarios that they may be confronted with, trying to get back into the work circuit here and or improve their job that they have. So we've had Lisa on, and we talked about the truck driving school and all, and that's got to be a pretty good subject and a great demand now for our truck drivers. And Lisa, how is that working at this time?
Well, there's still tons of openings for anyone who wants to drive, either CDL Class B or Class A. Mobile and Jefferson counties are the two counties that have the most openings for truck drivers presently.
Goodness, okay.
And their starting wage is over $52,000 a year, so that's
okay.
That's not too shabby.
No, it's not.
You don't have to go to college to make livable money.
Yeah. Well, all that being said now, let's say that, you know, maybe I'm a vet and I'm working at another job and I'd like to improve myself and my ability to earn more wages. Do these guys or these schools have a night school that I could go to or evening?
Some of the programs are offered in the evenings or on the weekends.
Weekends, okay.
It would depend on the individual school. There are 4 in the local area that will train them. Some have just day programs, some have evenings, and then I believe at least one of them has a Saturday program.
Right. I know that Bishop State has they called it a weekend program.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we discussed that previously on the other shows. And we want to have Brad Wallace and Thomas Prater back on board here with us here in a few weeks. And let's talk about that again, because there's still numerous jobs available, as you say. Now, all that being said, aren't funds available so that these guys, our vets, can be go to schools for free? Or how does that work? Or a prorated portion or not? How does that work?
Well, there's a variety of ways that they can get their training paid for. One of the most common is WIOA funding. That's the Workforce Innovative and Opportunity Act. The veteran does have to qualify in several categories. They can be a dislocated worker, meaning they've been laid off from their job or they've been recently discharged from the military. If they're low income, which is based on their family size, if they're receiving some form of public assistance, or if they have a disability, they can qualify for WIOA funds. It does not pay any type of stipend, but it does pay for their training. And my understanding is they're also eligible to apply for financial aid if they need that to assist with their living expenses while they're going through school.
Well, I understand now that, and talking with Thomas the other day, that the Bishop State may have some funds available there as well for the vets maybe to take training out there.
They do. They have something called the Pathways Program, which has grants available to assist them to get their permit for a Class B CDL.
Okay. Neat. Yeah. Well, now, Bishop State is located here in the Mobile area, and it's a VA approved for the GI Bill funding. So most all of our vets are going to have the GI Bill fund, won't they?
Well, a lot of the veterans will, but for those who maybe it expired, you know, if they've been out of the military for quite a while, but Bishop State is approved for GI Bill funding. Premier is also approved for GI Bill funding.
That's awesome. Okay, now they have another one. ESD Trucking is located in Theodore, but they haven't received their approval yet.
When I last spoke with them, they said they were working on their approval, but had not yet received it. CDL of Alabama, which is located in Summerdale, is not currently approved for the GI Bill. Now, if a veteran is not eligible for the WIOA funding to pay for their training, there are still other options available. A number of companies offer tuition reimbursement for drivers who hire on with them. Some companies have what they call carrier programs, which means if you hire on, like while you're in your training, you finish your training and the company will pay for your training. And then there's Bishop State's Pathways program to help you with your Class B.
Unbelievable. So now, what is the slot system?
The slot system is the school determines the veteran suitability for their program. That's if the veteran is going to apply for WIOA funding. So the school will determine their suitability for the program. The school will provide them with a letter of acceptance. They'll need to also have their DOT physical, their drug test, and their motor vehicle record, and a copy of their DD-214. And then they would come into the Alabama Career Center nearest them to apply for the WIOA funding.
So then they could apply for that funding then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's awesome. So there's really, if you are a veteran and you're looking for a job, there's really no reason not to have a job or a better job than what you already have.
There are so many companies out there, and many of them love the characteristics that veterans bring and the qualities that they have. There's no reason for a veteran to be unemployed.
If they're a vet and they're looking for to improve themselves with a job and or need a job, where should they go?
Alabama Career Center that's nearest them. There's one in Bay Minette, one in Foley, one in Mobile on Spring Hill Plaza Court.
Okay. And then they just go in there and when people start asking them questions and determine that they're a vet, would they be turned over to your vet center or your vet career employers? Are the people that are working with the vets there? How does that work?
Well, if the veteran is determined to have a significant barrier to employment,
right,
then they're connected with what we call our DVOPs that work with the veterans to get them job ready and assist them with job placement. But all veterans are eligible to work with our local veteran employment representative, and they're the ones that reach out to companies to try and place the veterans with them.
That's awesome. They need a job, they go to the career centers.
Alabama Career Center System.
And if you're a vet, bring your DD-214.
Definitely.
And be able to pass a damn drug test, okay? Come on. That's some of the biggest problems they're having. But, you know, that's their problems. But now, and for more information, we can always check it out on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on burning down a house and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network. Pleasure having you guys on board.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The events in our nation's capital on January the 6th, 2021, have shocked the conscience of the law-abiding people of this country. The juxtaposition of a peaceful rally and march led by freedom-loving patriots, President Trump among them, followed by the shocking images of criminal thugs smashing their way past barricades and authorities in the Capitol building, it is difficult to reconcile for most people. Candidate and then President Trump has led tens, if not hundreds, of such rallies across this great nation. And in no instance has any resulted in the outcome that we witnessed in D.C. on that fateful afternoon. I, for one, was not glued to a TV, either for the rally and the president's remarks, nor was I able to watch the coverage of the events that unfolded soon thereafter on the steps of the Capitol and beyond as the peaceful protest was hijacked by yet-to-be-determined actors with less than honorable intentions. In truth, both Hollywood and our own location prepared to do a remote for SBN. As such, I was able to take in the events in something of hindsight. Without the panicked, almost predetermined reporting on the events, I found it hard to believe that in less than a couple of hours since the beginnings of the riot, not the rally, but the breaching of the Capitol building itself, that the hourly news reports on nearly every supposed news talk radio station were decrying the events as the worst incursion into the United States federal building since the War of 1812, when the British invaded Washington and burned the Capitol and the White House. In doing so, they of course failed to mention the numerous times that the left has taken over buildings in our nation's capital during contentious hearings or votes or assaulted conservative lawmakers at their homes or in public, not to mention the outright homicidal attack on conservative lawmakers on a baseball field, which almost cost Congressman Steve Scalise his life. One might think that they were prepped to roll out such hyperbole in their reporting, with the hope that such an event might occur in order to further the progressive agenda. Now, you might be saying, come on, Top Cat. How would anyone be rooting for such an attack on the physical embodiment of one of our branches of government? Well, I think that the events that we have witnessed over the course of this last year have more than demonstrated that the communist progressives will stop at nothing to achieve their goal of attaining power and establishing a paradigm that will allow them to maintain control for the foreseeable future. Many of you know that I have been around for more than a few years and have seen my share of momentous events, both good and bad. But after hearing what happened at the Capitol, I could not shake the feeling that there was something more to what we were seeing unfold. Fortunately, it was the breathless reporting by the mouthpiece media that literally sparked the idea in my head. The year was 1933, when on February the 27th in Germany, a sizable portion of the parliament building in Berlin, the Reichstag, went up in flames from an arson attack. In the 10 years since his failed beer hall putsch in 1923, Adolf Hitler had poured his energy into attaining power as he rose to the head of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. For the highly educated snowflakes out there, that would be the Nazi Party. Despite its considerable growth, the Nazi Party won only 2.6% of the vote in 1928 election. The ensuing Great Depression caused massive social upheaval in Germany, which the Nazis exploited to gain further political traction. And by 1930, the Nazis had won 18.3% of the Reichstag, while the Communist Party garnered 10%. The Nazis aligned with other right-leaning factions and gradually worked their way up to 33% of the vote, but were unable to reach a full majority. In January 1933, Hitler was appointed as chancellor as a fireball against the rising tide of communism, much like today's progressives. Hitler knew not to let a good crisis go to waste, and in the aftermath of the Reichstag fire, placed the blame for the event on his communist opposition. Under pressure from Hitler, President Hindenburg invoked Article 48, and the cabinet drew up the decree of the Reich President for the protection of the people and the state. The act abolished freedom of speech, assembly, privacy, and the press, legalized phone tapping and interception of correspondence, and suspended the autonomy of federated states. The night of February 28th, around 4,000 people were arrested, imprisoned, and tortured by the Nazis. Although the Communist Party had won 17% of the Reichstag elections in November 1932, and the German people elected 81 communist deputies in the March 5 elections, many were detained indefinitely after the fire. Their empty seats left the Nazis largely free to do as they wished on their march to the final solution. Research done in 2013 cited witness testimonies that became available after the fall of the Soviet Union showed that the communists were likely not involved at all. Rather, it was a group of Nazis who instigated the fire and later covered up Nazi involvement, which brings my discussion full circle in 2021. As I mentioned earlier, the majority of pro-Trump freedom rallies throughout the nation over the last 6 years have been peaceful, with the exception of when, quote, anti-Trump groups have inserted themselves into the mix. These groups, such as Antifa and BLM, come looking for a clash wherever they appear, and they were scheduled to appear in D.C. on the 6th. Maybe their benefactor, George Soros, bought plane tickets for the wrong day, or maybe they were so engrossed in the latest round of Minecraft to escape from mommy's basement. But by all accounts in the media, they failed to appear on the mall during the rally. Or maybe, and call me crazy on this one, they had infiltrated the patriotic group, as few have reported and social media accounts bolster in the guise of Trump supporters, MAGA hats and Trump flags aloft. And just maybe they were the actual instigators, along with a purposely understaffed Capitol Police, with guidance from Speaker Botoxi, in the breaking and entering of the Capitol. For those of you playing at home, the Capitol building is massive. And at least from the select images that the statewide government-run media is providing the sheeple, the rioters who led the charge were well-prepared to scale walls like Spider-Man and break through a few select locations with ground floor window access. That is when they were not being effectively escorted in by guards, as seen in some of the approved videos. A quick review of the available footage seems to bear this out, that the methods and tactics used to breach the Capitol were totally in line than those what we have seen throughout the 2020 summer of love and spaghetti potlucks that rioted with wanton disregard, looted with a purpose, destroyed lives and dreams, and placed a target on the heads of law enforcement throughout this nation. The very same tactics, with one exception, to quote, burn it to the ground. In all of the chaos that occurred in the Capitol, nothing was set ablaze. In fact, much of the carnage inside of the building seemed almost staged for photographers, which leads me to ponder, just why would someone undertake such a project? Just something to think about. But the deep state and the swamp creatures were still terrified of Donald Trump, even as they conducted the kabuki theater of certifying the results of the Electoral College. Even after 4 years of attempts to remove him from office with phony scandals and a sham impeachment, Trump is still fighting and his base has only grown under the withering fire from the progressives. So the incursion into the Capitol served two basic reasons. First, it shifted the focus of the nation from the very real constitutional challenges that were occurring in the joint session of Congress to the chaos that spread throughout the building. Second, and most importantly, it served a platform for Botoxy and the establishment to intensify their characterization of Trump supporters as smelly Walmart deplorables that need to be ostracized from society, both socially and physically. It was the final attempt to wipe Donald Trump and his movement not only from the history of this nation, but also to destroy any attempt that he and his movement might make to retake the government from the communist progressive deep state in the future. I think that they have failed on both accounts. In fact, I think that the actions of Botox, Schumer, and the government-run media-attacking freedom-loving patriots in the aftermath of the event have only solidified the Trump movement. At least for now, those patriots have the Constitution in their corner. It is still the greatest document for freedom that has ever been written. And at least for now, we have the God-given right to pursue liberty, and I believe that we still have the fighting spirit to keep it. That is confounding the progressives whose only God is themselves and government. But I feel certain that the torch of liberty still burns brightly in the hearts of patriots throughout this nation. And in the words of Churchill, we will never give up. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Have I mentioned I'm pissed off lately?
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world. At ScuttlebuttNetwork.com, you're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple of Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And Tom, not a lot of time left in this show, but, you know, we recorded that a year ago.
Right.
I think it stands the test of time based on what is going on now at that forest, which is the January 6th committee.
It's still here today. It's still current. No, let's go, Brandon.
I think even more so. Even more so. Words there, Tom, were very prescient. And it just goes to show what exactly we are, I guess you could say, fighting against when it comes to the sort of establishment there in D.C. And you know, of course, you know, they just announced, I think the FBI has a new domestic terrorism organization. They're going to look after, you know, you and I. So hopefully you're listening and hopefully they enjoyed the show.
I hope they did because we put a lot of work in it.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's amazing what we get out of that. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Join us again. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!